And there are a lot of legal questions to parse out here, so let's see if we can get some of them answered with Jessica Levinson, law professor at Loyola Law School. Jessica, welcome back.
Thank you.
And we just heard Kelsey Snell there describe how Democrats and maybe even some Republicans are trying to hold the president accountable for the insurrection last week, either through the 25th Amendment or through impeachment. What are some of the top legal questions on your mind right now?
Well, I mean, the biggest question, of course, is how far can we go when it comes to an impeachment for a president that likely will not be in office when the trial happens? So we're in the realm of unprecedented. We are in a norm-breaking presidency, already in a place where there are certain constitutional questions that simply have not been answered. We basically know when the 25th Amendment can be invoked, Section 4, but again, we've never done it before. So I think the big legal question is the timing of the impeachment.
Right, because Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell has said that the Senate would not start an impeachment trial until January 19th, and that's the day before Joe Biden's inauguration. So how are we going to figure that out? Well, you know, who's going to decide whether or not that can happen?
Well, I think that the best answer is that the Senate trial can absolutely go forward. I think the best answer, looking at the Constitution, and again, the reason I'm saying best answer is because we've never tested this before, which is good news, right? We don't want to continually test this constitutional provision. We don't want to continually be here. But I think the best answer is that as long as the House impeaches during the president's term, and that might not even be necessary, then the Senate trial can stretch after the president's term. I read the Constitution as absolutely allowing that. Then it really becomes a political calculation of, again, how much does it infringe on President Biden's first 100 days, whether or not you can get two-thirds of the Senate, which you probably can't, and whether or not it's worth it to say, since you can't remove the president once he's out of office, you know, the ultimate consequence at this point would be, Mr. President, you cannot run again. Don't pretend you can run again. And don't try and raise funds for the next 4 years to run again.
And Kelsey Snell brought this up. That would be a separate vote from conviction that would require just a simple majority of Democrats, which soon Democrats will have a simple majority because of the addition of the senators from Georgia. So let's just be clear about this. He could be acquitted, but he could still be allowed, never be allowed to hold office again.
I think that's the best way to read it, which is that the Senate would separately have to say what is the consequence. Let me point out, though, that I don't think that's settled. As there are many people who would say that you have to have that conviction first before you would then have that there's a repercussion here, and that the repercussion, again, being removal, which isn't on the table because this would happen after January 20th, or the repercussion would be you can't hold office again. It would, in a sense, it would be like sentencing somebody, and you don't sentence them until they've been convicted.
I see. Harvard Law School Emeritus Professor Alan Dershowitz told the New York Times that he would defend the president in an impeachment trial on free speech grounds. He said the president's speech is clearly protected by the First Amendment. What do you make of the defense?
What I make of that defense is that not much. I mean, to be totally honest, so we have a very robust First Amendment tradition in our country. And certainly you can say a lot of things and you can really rev up a crowd. And we want people to do that. We don't want anybody who gives a speech in front of a big audience to be constantly worried about, am I about to incite violence? But if you look at what the president said, I do not see here that there is the umbrella of First Amendment protection. Remember, you're not allowed to, this is the example we always use, but yell fire in a crowded theater. We know that inciting violence is a crime. It is something where we allow an infringement on the First Amendment because we say they're countervailing interests that are so important. I believe this is one of those cases. I don't see that First Amendment, again, umbrella of protection here.
We have just about a minute here. The president has long been said to be considering a self-pardon, which would cover federal crimes. Now, there's a debate over whether he can do that because it's never been done before. Just walk me through how you think that might be challenged in court, and do you think it increases the chances that he would be charged with a crime so that it could be challenged?
Yeah. So in less than a minute, the way it would happen is the president would say, I'm going to pardon myself. And then the only way we can get a legal answer is that a federal prosecutor would then have to charge the president with a federal crime. He would have to use the self-pardon as a defense. And then the federal prosecutor would have to say, absolutely not. Self-pardons aren't allowed under the Constitution. And then you have your live case or controversy in a federal court. Then you go up, likely to Supreme Court. They answer it. Does it make it more likely that he'll be charged? I'm not sure. That depends on the appetite of federal prosecutors.
Jessica Levinson, law professor at Loyola Law School, thanks very much for your insights.
Thank you.